Amen. Amen. How many of us ever been in a dilemma? Huh? Or should I say a predicament? Well, it seemed that we don't know which way to go. And like my grandma, you said, boy, you don't know if you're going or coming. That's a bad state of mind when you don't know if you're going or coming. Amen. And it seemed like everything you seem to do seemed like nothing is working out for you. You ever been in that situation? You ever had one of those days that it seemed like no matter what you do, is always something that you could have done to make it better, but it just got worse? But God is good. I never forget the time when I know many of you have been at a point in your life where it seemed like there's been a struggle. Huh? Where you just didn't have enough to make ends meet sometime, and especially when you got a family. I know many of us have families in here. We got children, probably a wife. But as men, we always determine. I know how my father raised me. That you got to be the man in your house. That if nobody else be a go-getter, you got to be the go-getter. Huh? No matter what comes or go. And my granddaddy used to say, come hell or high water, we got to do what we got to do to make ends meet in this house. Huh? And God turned around and he said that we are the priests of our house. So let me tell you something. If you're a man that's already a go-getter and you get God in your life, oh, my God. See, the devil got double trouble then. Huh? When you get God in your life, that means that there's a turning point now. Huh? Huh? See, God already made us his own image and his own likeness. But sometimes we tend to forget about the power that we possess when we turn it over to him. Huh? And no matter what we go through, we have to know that God is the one to bring us out. But sometimes when we're coming up and we get caught up and we don't recognize these things, we tend to be contorted in the hands of God. In other words, we're twisting and going in our own ways. Huh? But if we just allow God to work on us just a little bit, huh? I want to get ahead of myself, but I want to share something with you today. Something that you're all familiar with. And we're just going to share a little bit until Apostle come. But I want you to go with me to Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. And y'all know where we're coming from. Y'all know where we're coming from. How many know God is good, huh? Isn't he wonderful? Haven't he been good to you? Huh? Haven't God been good to you? Haven't he been the God that is more than enough? Huh? Haven't he made a way when it seemed like there was just no way at all? Huh? Haven't he brought you out when it seemed like there was no way out? He will make a way. Amen. Now this is familiar to all of us, and we're going to look at this 18th chapter of Jeremiah here. And God began to say a word to Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, I need you to go down to the potter's house. How many ever heard that? And I don't want you just to go down there and just to see what they're doing. I want you to hear my word. Isn't that something? Now, he told him to go and see, but he also wanted him to hear why he's seeing. Huh? Now, you know, a potter, he's quiet. He's not saying anything verbally, but he's concentrating on what he's doing. Isn't that awesome? I told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house, and I want you to hear my word. Huh? So Jeremiah get down to the potter's house, and he begin to see the potter working and work on the wheel. And in the midst of that potter working and molding that clay, trying to make it to the pottery that he needed to be, it got twisted, what he called marred, it getting twisted. Huh? In the potter's hand, and it began to go his own way. But one thing that I love about the potter, he didn't say, okay, just get that hunk of clay and throw it away and get a new block and start over. Huh? But he took that same clay that was contorted in his hands. Huh? And he took it and he slammed it because he got to get all the air bubbles back out of it. Because, you know, now it done got some pockets and some stuff done rolled in there. So now he got to slam it around and he got to beat it and make sure that he get everything up out of it, huh? Yes, all the air pockets, because now he's getting ready to work a new work on the same clay, on the same wheel, but just a new work, huh? So he began to mold that thing. He began to fashion it. He said, oh, my God, it's obeying me now, huh? We're going to get there in a minute. So as he began to mold it and make it, he said, man, this is a vessel that I can use now, but it still ain't ready. Huh? I done molded it. I done shaped it to the fashion that I wanted to be, but it still ain't ready. It has to go through a process, brothers. It has to go through what we call leather wet and bone dry. And then after get bone dry, he can get ready to send it through the kiln. But it still ain't ready because it got to go through some heat and pressure. So he know he got to let it sit on the shelf for a while, huh? See, sometimes we get marred in God's hand, but as we get marred, God don't throw us away. Many of us have been used and abused and dogged out, and I know I've been through some stuff, and I know many of the guys here have been through some stuff because I could feel your heart when I came in the room, huh? But no matter what you go through, God ain't finished with you, huh? He see more in you than the world see. Huh? Some of us have had fathers in our life that wasn't really fathers. Some of us have never met our fathers, huh? And some of our dads done told us that we'd never be anything, never amount to be anything. But some of us had good fathers, huh? And said, boy, you could be whatever you want to be. But one thing about it, all those fathers are good. But if our earthly father being evil can give good gifts to their children, how much greater is our heavenly father? So we're in the hands of our heavenly father now. A father that looked beyond our faults, looked beyond our contrariness, looked beyond our rebelliousness, looked upon our drug addicts and alcoholic situations, looked upon our womanizing and adulterous situation. And he said, no matter what they think about you, I got use for you. Huh? See, if you've never been battered, wounded, and broken, sometimes you don't know how to appreciate being made again. But when you done been through what you done been through, huh? And after God done needed you and pressed you a little bit, it's okay because you done been through some thing worse than that. Huh? But he just want to get everything out of you that the world have put in you. He began to need and press that stuff out of you that done had you oppressed. Huh? He want to get rid of those air pockets, that empty space that no one else can feel but him. Huh? He had to press us sometimes, like David said, press me till my bones are sore. Huh? Make me and mold me. Put me into that place with you, God, that I be hidden in your locks. No matter what comes or go, Lord, I know that you have use for me. So one thing about the clay, the clay never have an opportunity to talk to the potter. But while the potter is talking to the clay, you understand what I'm saying? See, sometimes God had to put us in a place called solitary confinement. Because we done everything else, done said everything else, and we ain't got nothing else to say but let God work. And let him begin to make and mold you to what he wants you to be. Huh? See, one thing about choice china, amen, it ain't for everybody to use anyway. Huh? Something about them special vessels, everybody can't use it until special company come over. You know what I'm talking about. Mama said, don't go in that china cabinet, boy. Huh? You go get one of them paper plates because you know this is our best china. Huh? And it's for special occasion. Huh? Don't you know that God got you wrapped up and it's for a special occasion? Huh? Sometimes we're going to go through some stuff. Huh? But then every now and then he pull us out and dust us off. God is an awesome God. Huh? And see, one thing about a vessel in it, and I wonder why he was making a picture. Huh? He was making something that can hold and contain something. Huh? See, he couldn't use us when we couldn't hold water. If we can't hold water, we definitely can't hold his anointed oil. So he had to remake us and to mold us into that vessel, but we still ain't ready. Brothers, we got to go through the kiln. You know, when you first get saved, you got all that joy, but you still ain't ready. You got a zeal, but not according to his knowledge. So you're still in that green place. Huh? But mine, when he began to see that little spot come, it all of a sudden it started a little white spot, then all of a sudden it go to getting bigger, 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 bigger. And then you look at it and then you say, man, this thing looking funny, but it's working. It's getting bone dried in. Huh? Because you set it on the shelf. But once he set it on the shelf and let it bone dry, he got to put it in the kiln then. Huh? So he turns it up just enough for you not to crack. You know how it is when you first get saved, you got that joy. You ain't cracked yet. He know how to turn it up just a little bit, huh? Just enough to dry you out. And once he dry you out, that's when folks begin to look and there's a change coming. Huh? That's when people get to look at you and say, man, you don't look the same no more. Huh? Something new about you. But you instead of smiling and going on, you still ain't quite ready yet. Huh? Put you in the kiln and let you fob just a little bit more. Huh? He got to get you hard enough. My God. Sometimes the hardest battle is the heated trials that you go through. And you're saying, Lord, how in the world I'm trusting in you, Lord, what's going on? Huh? You still ain't ready yet. You're just going through the kiln. Then after he bring you out of that, it's time for him to glaze you now. He begin to put on you now the colors that he want. But you still ain't ready. He begin to glaze you and put you on the color, but your color still dull. They still dull, but people can see the change. It's looking better. Boy, you looking better. What you doing for yourself? You ever had this? What your kin folks say, man, you looking good. You're doing better. You're doing better. But you still ain't ready yet. Then after he done glazed, he had to put you back in the kiln. That's when you just come out of trial to cool down for a minute. Now you're going through a bigger trial. Now you got to trust him even more. Huh? I told you now, right now, now the pottery can't talk back to the potter. Huh? But he wondered what's going on. Now he take you and he put you in that kiln and he turn it up just a little bit more. Huh? He get hotter, but you don't stay in as long. Woo! Ain't God good? Then your color begin to get bright. Brighter. Then all of a sudden he take you back out the kiln and put you back on the shelf and everybody that passed by said, ooh, that's pretty. And they want to touch it. He said, no, don't touch it yet. It ain't ready. Huh? It ain't ready yet. It been fired. It been glazed. It been all that, but it haven't been clear coated yet. So it ain't quite ready. But boy, when he let you cool off a sudden, put the clear coat on, then all of a sudden he gets you to that point when then you just about ready, but you still got to cool down some. Pastor Gary, he had to let us sit there for a while and just let that clear coat dry and hard. Then he put you back in the kiln. He know how to do it just enough so you won't crack. Huh? So he turned up the heat now just a little bit hotter, but the term is even shorter in there. Turn it up just a little bit hotter. Then all of a sudden the glaze go to getting beautiful and the seal begin to come, and my God, now you're covered. But he said, now, I'm going to give it a few more minutes because if I pour something in it now, it's going to bust. Woo! That's when you get to that point, you done got out the kiln, you've been glazed, you've been cleared, and you're ready to go. But it ain't time yet because if you pour in you too quick, you're going to bust and going to crack. And all the oil going to run out. So therefore, he take that time, let you cool down. And then he said, now, you're a vessel ready to be used. You're a vessel now of honor. But I can't just let anybody use you because you're personal to me. You got to understand, when you become personal to God, he's going to use you for his goodness, for his grace. But guess what? When he uses you for his grace, he's going to pour out on everybody else. Huh? How many times have you had to refill that cup? Every time it run out, right? You get thirsty again, right? You have to fill it up, huh? And you have to pour it out again. Huh? But I'm so glad that he got pictures. Man, you could take that picture, you could keep on filling, but you got to refill the picture. We as men, we're like those pictures. We're the priests of our house. Huh? God want to keep on filling us so we can pour out on our children, pour out on our wife, pour out on nieces and nephews, pour out on the community, pour out on somebody that's in need, huh? Because you are valuable. But everybody still can't handle you, huh? Only one pair of hands are meant to grab hold of your handle, because he know how to handle you delicately. And he will put no more on you than you can bear. Things might get intense, but he know how to handle you. Everything else might be shaking around you, but he's going to cover you. That's the kind of God that we serve. Huh? He said that if you abide, huh, under the shadows of the Almighty, you ain't got nothing to fear. My name is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and they are saved. How many understand that today? How many going to be that potter? How many going to be that pitcher that God can use, that he can pull out? That's why God's called men. It's time for the men. Oh, if men would pray. Yeah. Whew. Oh, if men would worship me. Yeah. Huh? We're giving everybody else the glory, but give God back his glory. You know what God's glory is? We are God's glory. Yeah. Huh? So if we're giving back everybody else their glory, won't we give God his glory? Yeah. Huh? He ain't asking for your riches and wealth. All he asking for is your service. We are God's glory, men. And don't you know that ain't nothing? You, let me tell you something. If your wife getting her hair done, she don't want you to touch it. That's her glory. That's your wife you married to her. You don't want no other man to touch it. That's your glory. Now, when you are born again and you're in God's hand, he don't want nobody else to touch you. You're his glory. How many understand that today? Huh? God is awesome. And don't you know that he's going to take care of his glory? Let that woman have mess up. She's going to get a hairdo, brother. You're going to have to find somewhere to pay for it. Or either you're going to have to do it yourself, and you better do it right, because she want it in place. Huh? If a man really loves his wife, guess what? He want her stepping right, because she represents him. When she step out, just like that woman had represent her. Huh? That woman represent, and when you got that wife on your arm and you walking, everything else got to move out the way. They even show you respect. When you're single and you're walking like this here, you know, everybody, you know, they say, oh. But when you're walking with your wife arm in arm and you're walking through a place, people make room for you. You see that? Why? Because you carry your glory. Huh? You might be smiling, but you're serious about that thing. Huh? So when God is walking with you, you his glory. And guess what? When he walks with you, things that's got to move out the way. Circumstances, situation got to bow down to you. Huh? Consequences got to take its stand with you, because now you are in control. You are in authority. Why? Because you have the one on the inside that's permeating on the outside. Huh? Let God's glory show. Let it be known. Huh? God said, if you be ashamed of me before men, then I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. Huh? But if we lift him up, we're going to draw all men unto him. So, brother, we're God's glory. I'll move out the way so Apostle Hines can come. Amen. But God is good. Amen. God is good. Let's give God a hand. Amen. Let's give God a blessing. Amen. Thank God at this time. Amen.
That was a great word. Amen. There's a lot of nuggets in that word. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jenkins. And Apostle Hines has arrived now, and I know he's loaded. The Holy Ghost. The words say full of the Holy Ghost. I don't mean to change the context. I said loaded with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You got the Holy Ghost. You loaded. Fully loaded. Amen. So we're going to ask Apostle Hines to come forth now. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. I'll stay down here. Yeah, well, good morning, everybody. God bless you. God bless you. Sorry for my tardiness. My wife had to take one of the grandsons to work this morning, and so I couldn't leave home until she got back in. I had to help her in the house, because she's my glory, okay? Amen. I could not leave till she got back. All right, so good, praise God. I've been on a journey this morning, too. I had never been the direction that my driver bought me. We were trying to get here. And we were on Slaughter. And I'm thinking, this is not Brody. because we were going across a bridge. I'm thinking, Brody don't have a bridge like this. So where are we at? He said, we're on Slaughter. Slaughter? I don't know which way we came. Amen. But he got me here, all right? He got me here. So thank God for the privilege of talking to you guys today. Bishop, thank you for inviting me. Amen. We thank God for you. Amen. Good to see all you men of God here. Praise God. All right. Apostle Holland and Bishop Cunningham. I can't see who else is here, but God bless you. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy. The part of the word I got in on, boy, it's like, okay, that's kind of what we're dealing with this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. We're just going to hit this briefly and then really get to where we're going. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Now, Father, we thank you for this time of the word. We confess that we cannot preach or teach unless you enable us. Thank you for your help. Thank you, O Lord, for causing your word to bring forth life. Cause your word to minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Paul writing to his spiritual son here, Timothy, and he says here, this you know, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul, the great apostle, he's on these missionary journeys, and all of a sudden, people began to leave him. Men that he had trusted, boy, he can no longer trust. They've gotten preoccupied with other things and circumstances. He says in one place that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Yeah, God had been traveling with him all around the place, but Demas got caught up in the world. Now, I remember when I got born again, I had people telling me, because I'm from the world and they knew my background, then listen, Billy, don't go back, man, to the clubs and da-da-da-da, you know. And I'm thinking, why are you telling me that? Because I knew within myself what God had done for me. And that it really was, from my point of view, an impossibility for me to go back to where I came from. I wasn't going back to that lifestyle. And God had become so real to me, you know, that I couldn't go back. I mean, he's real. I don't have to wait to church for him to be real. He's real wherever I am, you know. Yes. On the inside, I know he's with me. He's revealing things to me. He's speaking to me. So my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he's really making it known that I am his temple. And that's Christianity. Christianity is really supernatural. It's not natural. Christianity is supernatural. And we as men, we've got to get to that place where that supernatural aspect of whose we are really begin to come forth. Amen. It has to come out, because the world has to be impacted by you. Amen. But he says, all these men have left me in Asia, turned away from me, whom are, now these names here, these guys are something else, all right? Philegius and Hermogenes, okay? The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my bonds. Paul being incarcerated because he's preaching the word of God. Hadn't done anything wrong. He's preaching the word, and people don't want to hear it, so he's in prison. Now, these guys here, I mean, at one point Paul says, I've turned over Alexander the coppersmith to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Can you imagine being turned over to Satan by a man of God? Wow, what kind of authority is that? I've turned them over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, that they might learn not to do certain things. Wow. It's supernatural, everybody, all right? Now, God has saved you for a reason, and you want to find out what that reason is. You really do. You want to find out what that reason is. And as I heard Pastor Jenkins saying a while ago, that we are vessels of God. And what I want to do as you turn over to chapter 2, just to just want to kind of give you what where Paul was coming from and why he's talking to Timothy this way in chapter 2. He says, now, even though all these people have forsaken me, he says, verse 1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace. Wow, the grace of God. My goodness, what an awesome thing. Anybody know about the grace of God? I know when I was coming up, they had an acronym for grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, that God has all these things for us, but it cost Jesus his life for us to get them, for us to become sons of God. It cost Jesus his life for us to become that, to save us from hell. It took, boy, Christ dying for us to get that. Amen. But now, grace is different from mercy. Mercy is like this. Mercy does not give you what you deserve. Okay? You slap me, I'm not going to slap you back. I want to. You deserve for me to, but I'm going to have mercy on you because you don't realize I'm a 19th back a degree black belt, so I'm not going to do it. You just don't know that I got it like that, okay? Yeah, you think I'm just a short guy that can't do nothing. But I'm going to be merciful to you and let you make it. Mercy. I'm not going to give you what you what deserve. Grace, however, is different. Grace takes it a step further, okay? Grace is God's love, mercy, and power combined. His love, his mercy, and his power combined, because God's grace influences you. God's grace enables you. You can't see it. It influences you. Amen. But in order to get it, you have to operate in faith. You have to believe that God is helping you. You ever prayed and it seemed like God wasn't helping? See, that's when you have to stand in faith. You have to know by faith, because the word says it, that God is already helping me. Amen. We're praying, oh God, we want to see something spectacular, you know. Maybe angels showing up or something, and it seemed like, you know, he's not listening. But that's where your faith in God has to rise up, and you have to know that God's grace is coming towards you, that God has purposed to bless you. It's an enablement, all right? It's an enablement. So I want you to trust in this unseen thing called the grace of God. Amen. And God is for you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. God is for you. Grace not only, listen, mercy doesn't give you what you deserve, but grace does not give you what you don't deserve, but it also gives you ability to be what God wants you to be. That's the big difference. Grace gives you the ability to be what God wants you to be. This is the faith walk, okay? It'd be wonderful if you felt like you were a Christian 24/7, you know? The power of God all along. That would be so powerful. But sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes you have troubles and difficulties going on, you know, all kind of things happening in your life to distract you and to discourage you. Amen. But that's when you have to wait on God's grace. Somebody say God's grace. God is faithful to give you his grace 24/7. Grace is not meant for people who have it together. No, grace is not meant for people who have it together. Grace is meant for people who don't have it together, who recognize they don't have it together, who recognize I need the help of God. Anytime you're feeling self-sufficient, you have now fallen from grace. And I'm not talking about salvation now. Your grace won't help you because you're feeling self-sufficient. Amen. You're feeling enabled because of who you are, your own ability. You're not after the grace of God. Amen. You don't need God's grace. And so, but grace is meant for people who mess up, who recognize that they can't. In the book of Romans, Paul asks the question, shall we sin that grace may abound? He's asking that question in chapter 6 because these Romans, they've gotten the thing of grace all confused. They understand that grace is for people who mess up. So if that's the case, let me mess up a lot, and I get a lot of God's grace. So he says, no, don't do that. That grace may have been, no, don't do that. That's not what I'm talking about. They grabbed the concept, but they were operating wrongly. Now, we are not grabbing the concept that grace is meant for people who mess up. That's what we mess up at. Because we're not relying upon that grace. We're still trying to get our own ability to step up. And the more you do it, the less effective you feel. Mm-hmm. You're praying, reading your Bible, but it's like, man, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, and it's like nothing is happening. You're not depending on the grace of God. All right? You have all the grace you need and a whole lot more. Please hear me. If this room would symbolize the grace of God, and it would, it's like covering everywhere, okay? You have grace everywhere around you, on you, in you. God has already gone before you, made ways for you you have no idea about. God is enabling you 24/7. He's touching your mind so that you don't lose your mind. Boy, he's giving you favor. Doors are opening for you. That's the grace of God, the favor of God upon you. So it's always working. Amen. It's always there. Even when you don't feel it, it's there. That's where faith comes in at. I'm repeating that because I want you to catch it, all right? You have to believe it. So he says, be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. It's only found in Christ. It's not found anywhere else, all right? Amen. Oh, there we go. And the thing that you have heard of me among many witnesses, and what that really means is that you've heard me telling people my stories. And it's really Paul talking. It's not so much that witnesses have seen Paul doing these things. Paul is telling his story to people. And people can verify that what he's saying is true. He says, so the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, he says, the same, I want you to commit, deposit. Anybody know about making deposits? Isn't it good when a deposit is made on the inside of in your bank from you? I got money to deposit. What a blessing. It don't feel good when you ain't got no money to deposit. Mm-mm. He said, but I want you to deposit some things, watch this, in faithful men. Any faithful men in here today? Are you just calling yourself faithful? Are you really faithful? Yeah. Are you really trustworthy? Are you really trustworthy? Can God trust you with things? Can people trust you with things? Can I give you my wallet for a year and you not spend the money on the inside? Are you trustworthy? Amen. Are you going to be honest when no one is looking at you? Amen. Faithful, trustworthy men. Men that are dependable. Men, now watch this now, who have zeal. Help me, Lord. Men that have zeal. Any zealous men in here today? Now don't lie. Zealous men. Men who have fire. Any men in here got fire? I can't get enough of Jesus. I love the word of God. I love meeting with the saints of God. Hallelujah. I love doing the will of God. You are energetic about God and the things of God. Are you listening to me? That's what I'm talking about, zeal. If we don't have zeal, we're not being faithful. We're not being faithful because we're not on fire for God. And the average man is not on fire for God. I just got to tell you the truth. Yeah, the average man is not on fire for God. Oh, help me, Lord. I want you to commit things to faithful men who shall be able, competent enough to teach other men also. That's why you got to have zeal. Because you have to realize this is not just for you. What you're receiving is also for somebody else. Amen. It's for somebody else. When you receive something that's a blessing, you want to digest it, make it your own, but then you want to give it to somebody. You just don't keep it. You give it. Hallelujah. Amen. There are needs all around you. Amen. Give it to somebody else. Hallelujah. Now watch this. You therefore. Come on, iPad. There you go. Come on. Endure hardness. Help me, Lord. He said, endure hardness. Stop it. You think he meant, he said, endure hardness. hardness. How many of you guys can take someone talking about you without losing your cool? Yeah. How many of you can take things like that? Hardness. You know? Where you don't have to prove yourself. Where that fleshly you don't have to come out. You're able to tolerate, and more than tolerate, to bear what you're going through. Hardness. The average believer cannot tolerate hardness. We get angry. We're frustrated. We're ready to fight. We're ready to leave. I'm going to quit. Boy, we begin to murmur and complain. I know there's no murmur and complainers in here. Amen. I'm just talking, all right? I'm just talking. Hallelujah. But we murmur and complain. That's not enduring hardness. Mm-mm. That's being like a little girl. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. We're men, right? Who are we? Come on. Hallelujah. What kind of men are we? Faithful men, right? We're faithful men, trustworthy. We're men of God. Hallelujah. We can endure some hardness. Christ did. And he's on the inside of us. Come on. We've got to quit murmuring, complaining. This ain't right. That ain't right. And we just kind of go on and on and on, sounding like little girls sometimes. That's bothersome. That is. That's very bothersome when you have men complaining that way. Endure hardness. Now, he's going to use three illustrations here, but the first one is going to be that of a soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Boy, soldiers, we must be fighting or something. No man that wars entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Christ has chosen you to be part of his army, his elite forces. The Navy SEALs ain't got nothing on you. You are so equipped, it is unbelievable. You have authority. At your word, things happen. You can shut up heaven where it don't rain for 3.5 years. You don't hear me, do you? You can pull down strongholds. Amen. You can have the devil, boy, cast out demons, do all kind of things. You are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We ought to be able to endure. I was looking at Navy SEALs the other night. It's like, boy, their name defines who they are. SEALs. What are SEALs able to do? Handle water, you know, right? That's their big thing. They're coming at you underwater. And when they get on land, because they can deal with water, they have such a huge lung capacity to be able to go through strenuous stuff, you know? When you can breathe deeply, you can handle heavy weight. You can, because you can breathe deep, okay? You can't breathe deep, you're not going to handle anything heavy. It takes breath to do that. These guys are awesome, but they ain't got nothing on you. Please hear me. Amen. You might look at yourself as being unqualified and I don't know enough and da-da-da-da, but you have authority. Somebody say, I got authority. The Lord gave you authority. Hallelujah. You have it. And with that authority comes power to back you up. Hallelujah. Try it. I'm serious. Try it. Begin to speak things at your house. Begin to speak peace at your house. I don't care. You might have to do it, boy, for 4 weeks. Keep on speaking it. Because sometimes these things get rooted in and they don't move easy. Once they're rooted down, they don't move easy. But I've been praying, ain't nothing happened. No, because you neglected and it is now grown. You have to, boy, labor with some stuff sometimes. You got to labor, amen. So he says, be a good soldier. Then he quickly jumps over to, come on here, stop it. Don't y'all love these iPads and things? Hallelujah. And this is a big one. I should have bought my small one. Here we go. Okay. And if a man strive for masteries, amen, the decathlon. The decathlon. These guys need some, but this takes commitment. To be a soldier takes commitment. To be a decathlon individual takes commitment. You have to be able to do all these things. You have to master these things. He says, boy, but if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned. Listen, he won the races, okay? But he will not be crowned except he strive lawfully. There are laws you cannot break, in other words. People run in the Greek Olympics, but they had to commit to 10 months of training, eating a certain way. They had to leave their families and, boy, stay away and learn. They had to learn according to the rules. If you break training rules, you were disqualified. I don't care how in shape you were now disqualified. And what we don't want to happen is that you run your Christian race and you be disqualified because you didn't run right. You were doing something, but you didn't run right. You were running unlawfully. I don't want to get hung up in that, all right? Because there's a lot that goes with that. Then it says the husbandman, the farmer, that labor must be first partaker of what? His own fruit. I mean, if I'm farming, boy, I ought to be the first one to eat from what I'm doing. Any farmers in here? You ought to be planting stuff. Amen. You ought to be planting stuff. Hallelujah. You ought to be acting like a soldier. Glory to God. In shape spiritually, you know, and planting stuff for the kingdom of God. Because, oh my goodness, I don't want to go there. Amen. Let's see. Okay, I'll stop. Let me use some authority. In the name of Jesus, stop. Hallelujah. There we go. All right, now. Now remember this, let's see. Ooh, didn't I mess up that time? Hold on, y'all. Here we go. Let's get it back. There we go. It has to reboot. That's what happened. You need to reboot. Remember that Jesus, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. I love that. Don't forget that Jesus Christ was resurrected from among the dead. Y'all know anybody who was raised from the dead? Had an immortal body after they got up? I don't know nobody. Didn't happen to Lazarus nor Jairus' daughter. They didn't have an immortal body. But when Jesus got up, he had a body of immortality. A spiritual body. So awesome. Don't forget him, he's saying. Because we serve a resurrected Savior. Amen. We serve a resurrected Savior. And if death could not hold him, nothing can hold him. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, as he is in this world, so are we. That's what it says in 1 John. As Christ is in this world, so are you. Amen. You can do some Jesus-type things. Hallelujah. And let me keep this a little bit further here. Verse 19. Because Pastor Jenkins has been up here and taught already. I don't want to keep you all day long. Amen. Verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Now listen. This word study does not mean to read your Bible. It doesn't. When you look it up, it doesn't mean to read your Bible. The word study here means, boy, to watch yourself. To begin to do your best. To strive after. You know? Amen. Do your best. Strive after something. Amen. Put your foot down. Accomplish something. Come on. Amen. Study real hard. Right. Watching yourself, in other words, boy, to show that you are approved unto God. Amen. That God has approved you. Amen. That you have gone through tests and you came out, boy, on top. Amen. Amen. So you have to watch yourself to do that. If you don't, boy, people will see you murmuring and complaining. That's right. Attitude. There's nothing worse than seeing a man roll his eyes. You expect to see a woman, but to see a man, that don't make no sense. You know, make no sense. Oh, we get in that man position, you know. It's amazing when men get around men sometimes, we put on those faces, you know. Which means, boy, you need to understand who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm all right, brother. How you doing? How you doing? Yeah, I'm all right. We be doing some crazy stuff. You're not in the world no more. Stop it. We ain't gonna fight nobody. Stop it. Oh my goodness. But study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Now, this is why they think it means to read your Bible, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right. But you're watching yourself. You're doing what it takes, boy, to be a man of God. You're watching your attitude. You're watching your countenance. You're watching all these things, but you're doing your best. Boy, to show that God is working in your life. You're reading the word of God, and you're rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what it means. You're rightly doing it, all right? But now this verse is what we normally forget. But avoid profane and vain babblings. Profane. Dirty conversations. Dirty jokes. Avoid profane. TV programs that are not right. They are profane. Y'all didn't hear me, did you? Pornography is profane. I used to have my wife did, not me. Victoria's Secrets books coming to the house. Yeah. I saw one day. Now, I'm legally blind, visually impaired, okay? So I saw one day, and it's sitting on the table. I'm thinking, what is this book? Had to be the Lord showing it to me. And I'm looking at this book, and I don't know nobody that looked like this. I'm looking at the woman on the book. I don't know nobody that looked like that. I don't want my grandson to see nobody that looked like that in what she got on. Because it's pornography. It is. It's pornography. It will turn you on. They call it soft pornography. It's pornography. Amen. I had to ask my, say, don't. I'll stop Victoria from coming to the house. We have grandsons. We have grandsons. We're trying to help the boys out, you know? Yeah, we're trying to help. Don't let Victoria come to the house, all right? Yeah, just stop her, you know? But you have to avoid profane and empty type talking. Sometimes we can talk and ain't talking about nothing. Some people can just run their mouth and ain't talking about nothing. Vain, empty talk. It said, avoid those things. Stop it. Stop it. Why? Watch this. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. Wow. You're reading the word. You're praying, but you're steady going backwards. Why? Because vain babblings. Profane stuff in your life. Amen. You can't wait till. I remember a program came on. What is it called? I don't know what it was. But anyway, it should not have been doing what it was happening. Anyway, he begins to strip, she strips, and this is regular programming, okay? And it's like, okay, they're going to stop stripping here, I guess, you know? And all of a sudden, she began to moan and groan. And it's like, and you got this heavy sex scene on TV at 8:30. Heavy. When I say heavy, heavy. It's like, my goodness, let me turn it. Because it was beginning to move me. She was in it, you know? See that on the black, you know, and all of a sudden it's off, and it's like, hold it, what in the world? Had to turn it. Maybe because stuff, boy, is there to trap you. You're trying to go forward, but you're doing things to keep you going backwards. You're cussing. You're doing things to keep you going backwards. You didn't hear me, did you? You're cussing. Yeah, 5 o'clock traffic is killing you. You stupid. 5 o'clock traffic is killing you. I know y'all heard what I said, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah, I said, 5 o'clock traffic is killing you. All these stupid drivers. What are you talking out of now? You're talking out of your flesh now.
All these stupid drivers. You're so stupid. You all mad about someone driving. They can't even hear you. They have no idea. And Satan is sitting on your hood. You go, guy. There are things that we don't realize that strip us. They do. They strip us. Let me get to another place here, and I'm going to stop, all right? Let's go to verse 19, I think. Amen. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal of this inscription written on it. This is what's written on this seal. That the Lord knows them that are his. Just what God wrote. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity or evil. If you're calling yourself a Christian, you need to depart from some wicked stuff. Amen. Some things you shouldn't even be entertaining or doing. You have to stop. Amen. You got to stop. Now, you might think you belong to God. That's not the issue. Does God say you belong to him? Yeah. You're saying you belong to God. But will God say you really belong to him? Mm-hmm. That's what you need to know. Yeah, that's what you need to know. I've seen some, it's just unbelievable. I don't want to get off track here. Verse 20. But in a great house, and I would have heard a while ago, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of dirt. And some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Hallelujah. Sanctified and meet or fit, ready, qualified for the master's use. That's a powerful verse right there. Anybody fit for the master's use in here? You want to be ready for his use all the time. You do, amen. All the time. When he calls your name or your number, Lord, here I am. I'm ready. I'm qualified. I'm fit. You need to know that you're qualified. You know that, don't you? God has qualified you himself. If you belong to God, you are qualified. But are you purging yourself? Some vessels in that house, boy, are honor and to dishonor. As an example, the toilet is a vessel of dishonor. All right? The toilet is a vessel of dishonor. Amen. The cabinet, what holds your glasses and things, that's a vessel of honor. It's holding all the good china and all the stuff. It's out where everybody can see it. But you would not go and drink out the toilet, even after you clean it. Amen. The idea here, however, is that you're going to so cleanse yourself, purge yourself to such a degree, you're not messing around with yourself, that, boy, like the toilet, it's going to be so clean, you can drink out of me. I was formerly like a toilet, but not no more. I've cleansed myself. You can drink out of me now if you want to. That's the idea here. Amen. You're now a vessel of honor. Amen. You're now a vessel of honor because you are that cleansed. You are that purified. Everybody hear what I'm saying? Amen. You want to be a vessel for God to use. And he needs vessels all the time. My sister told me, she says, years ago, back in the 70s, I got saved in 1974. I started teaching in 1977. And so she told me, she says, Billy, God needs men to teach. He needs men to teach. Well, I didn't think I could teach. I'm shy and quiet. I'm a high school dropout. I dropped out of high school at 16 years old. Went back when I was at 1978, got my GED, thank you. Then went on to college, though. But it's like, I don't know nothing, you know. Only books I read was Playboy and Jet Magazine, okay? That's all I read. Ain't got time to read. I mean, I got things to do, you know. But she told me, say, God need men to teach. And it hit me. I'm a man. And if God needs a man, well, I'll try it. My sister was a great teacher. Great teacher. I said, if you help me, I'll do this. And I was so mad after I told her that. Because I got to stand before people and talk. I don't like doing that. I'm shy and I'm quiet. I don't want attention on me like that. Oh, God had to really help me to get through those times. Amen. About being able to stand before people and to talk. Amen. To have my mind set where it didn't seem like these people are so bored by me. I don't know nothing. They know a whole lot more than what I know. I mean, I'm under attack. Every time I stood up, I'm under attack. But I kept on. I had no idea God wanted to use me as a pastor. As a teacher, I had no idea. I just knew that when my sister told me that God need men to teach, I qualify because I'm a man. Here I am, Lord. Wow. I don't know how this is going, but you need a man? You need a man? I'm a man. That's all she said. Any men in here? God need men to be faithful, to be zealous, to be committed. Committed. You've got to have fire. You get the fire of God by getting into His Word, meditating on His Word, learning to pray if you don't pray. Boy, just get before God and start praying, talking to God the way you talk to your best friend. I remember I heard a guy praying, and he's praying, hey, man, talking to God. Hey, man, I know you're up there somewhere. And, man, you're supposed to be a good guy. I mean, that's how he's talking. That's all he knew. That's all he knew. He's talking what he knew. Hey, man, that's how you talk. Now, we wouldn't do that, okay? But however you know to talk, talk. Don't try to pray like me. Don't try to pray like nobody else. You learn to pray, amen. You learn to pray. When you get around people as they pray, you can kind of catch on. But until then, boy, you just keep on praying. Seek the face of God. Seek His face. Amen. The Spirit of God will say, come here. You're looking at football. You're looking at football. And the Spirit of God wants to interrupt you. He'll say, come be with me. Let's read the word. Come on. But because we're looking at a football game, I don't have time. But the Spirit of God is speaking. He's saying, come on. Oh, man, well, I'll do it after the football game is over with. You don't put God on hold. You don't put God on hold. What are you doing? When God says come, you come. Because He wants to be with you. Amen. He wants to be with you. He is more interesting than any football game you could ever look at. Please hear me. Please hear me. That's most men's downfall, these sports, all right? Don't let it be your downfall. Don't let it be that. Amen. When you hear the Spirit of God say, come, respond. Because He needs what? Faithful men. Amen. And Father, I thank You for these men that are here this morning. Thank You that each one qualifies as a vessel, be it of honor or dishonor. And You're speaking to us about cleansing or purging ourselves. And we all need purging, oh God. We all need cleansing. And we ask, Lord, cleanse us, I pray. Put it in our hearts, Lord, to strive after You by the power of Your Spirit. Cause us to become hungry and thirsty for You, the living God. Lord, we can't live life without You. Help us to be able to really, Lord, feel that on the inside, that we need You more than we need our next breath. That we can live without ourselves, but we cannot live without You. You are our necessary life, O God. You are our God and our Creator. Yes. My Lord, call us closer to yourself. Woo us unto yourself, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us with a love that is so profound, a love that is so deep, a love that is so consuming, Father, that a love that's so unconditional. Thank you for loving us so. Cause us to know how you really are, and we'll bring glory and honor to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.